Our next speaker is known to many of us. She is now the Associate Vice President of Grenfell. Kelly Vauden is a specialist in environmental studies at Grenfell, a research associate and advisor to the municipalities of Newfoundland and Labrador, a specialist in sustainable living, community, regional development, community involvement and resource management, has done lots and lots of work in this province on water security. We first met in 2015 in Four New Earth's flagship event, the Future of Nature Conference at Grossmoor National Park. So it's my pleasure to welcome Kelly Vauden to the podium.
I'd like to thank the organizers, Mary Anderson and the town of Happy Valley Goose Bay for having us here, and also the Innu and Inuit upon whose traditional territory we gather, and whose territory we were here in the summer. I'm about to tell you about some research we did in July this past summer, and really this is an opportunity for me to report back on some of the things we heard from the people that we spoke with as we traveled across the Labrador Straits and the South Coast and through Central Labrador, asking people about their experiences with mobile work in their communities. And Muskrat Falls was on the top of everyone's mind. So for the most part, what we heard were stories about the Muskrat Falls project and how people coming and going in their work on that project were experiencing that form of labor and the impacts on their communities. So the presentation, I'm delivering it, but it's co-authored by myself and Leanna Butters, who's a master's student in environmental policy at Grenfell, and Dr. Heather Hall, at the University of Waterloo. And I should have included in this presentation a picture of the three of us in the large pickup truck that we rented for our field work this past summer. So we're just in the middle of it analyzing our interview results, but so this is a preview almost. You're working? Okay. Okay, thank you. So this presentation is a reflection of the community impacts portion of a large project that I've been working on, led by Dr. Barb Neese at Memorial University. It's a national project with international collaborators as well. It's been working over the last 7 years to look at trends in the mobile workforce or employment-related geographic mobility. And the largest team within that national team is here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And within that team, we have a number of sub-projects in different sectors and what we call the Community Impacts Team, which I'm the lead of. There are four members of that team at Memorial: myself, Rob Greenwood, Nicole Power, and Sandrine Jean in Anthropology, Sociology, and the Hare Center. Heather Hall, as I mentioned, is at the University of Waterloo, and we have Doug Leone as well at Cape Breton University, and are able to learn about some of the other research that's been going on in other Atlantic provinces around this topic, as well as students Joshua Barrett, Leanna Butters, and Julie Lawler, who worked with us on this project. So as part of the Community Impacts Team, we are asking questions about what the impacts of employment-related geographic mobility are on communities throughout the province in Newfoundland and in Labrador. What are the responses to these impacts that we're seeing by community organizations, whether it's municipal or Aboriginal organizations, by union leaders, by companies and business-related organizations, and governments at all levels? And how are these impacts and responses different in different kinds of communities, in different kinds of sectors, and under different kinds of policy circumstances? So we were fortunate to be able to come, as I mentioned, last summer to Labrador and do some interviews, at least in the southern and central portions of Labrador, about mobile work in this portion of the province. My presentation is based on 29 interviews, so certainly it's a relatively small subset of the key informants and community stakeholders that we could have spoken with, and we certainly would have liked to talk to more people, but I do think we had a good, we started to hear many of the same stories again and again that I'll tell you about in a minute. Many of the people that we spoke with were businesses. We were interested in their perspectives of small business owners, particularly, and how they were being impacted by mobile work in their communities. Municipal leaders as well, Aboriginal organizations, provincial and federal representatives, one representative from healthcare, two from community government organizations, labor, and transportation, as in the airport authority. We're currently analyzing the results of those interviews right now, and I'm going to tell you about some of the dominant themes that are coming out. Across the province, we're hearing housing as infrastructure, and particularly housing-related infrastructure issues, as the top topic of concern when it comes to the impacts of mobile work on communities, and there was no exception here. So of 25 of the 29 interviews, people were talking about impacts on housing in your communities from mobile work, and in most cases from the Muskrat Falls project. The other major area that people spoke about were economic impacts on communities. So jobs being provided, high wages, people, changes in how people spend those dollars that they're earning in these projects, impacts on other sectors and on business development in communities. And I'll tell you more now about what people said about that. I'll talk a little bit about some of the social and cultural dynamic changes that people talked about, but it wasn't a dominant part of the interviews here in Labrador. There's been more focus on some of those family dynamics and also on sense of place and how that's been affected in some of the other island communities that we've spoken with. So I think the infrastructure and economic impacts were really front of mind for people in our interviews. 12 of the interviews we did were on the Labrador Straits South Coast portion of Labrador, 9 were in Happy Valley, Goose Bay, and 8 in Labrador West. I'm going to focus here on our findings from Labrador Straits, South Coast, and Happy Valley, Goose Bay. The Labrador West interviews were more about the experiences with the mining sector in that portion of Labrador, although the one reference that people were making to the Muskrat Falls project was that people were, in the past, there had been a real focus in Labrador West on people living and working in Labrador West, but now people were, with the downturn in the mining sector, people were availing of opportunities elsewhere, and they were starting to see more people engaged in mobile work, including workers involved in the Muskrat Falls project. This table shows you what the top areas of concern were for people that we spoke with, and you can see that those that are in green are economic related, and the yellow is the housing, those that referenced housing. So again, just showing that those were the top areas of concern. There were also issues around governance, so I was interested to hear Dave's reference to the democratic deficit, and I want to come back to that. And I think that's certainly an area that we can have a lot more discussion. We heard about the mixed blessings from Mary Anderson, and that the project had had lots of some benefits and lots of challenges for communities. And it's in that those governance processes where we can have discussions about how to maximize benefits and decrease the challenges and threats and negative impacts of these projects that we can really make a difference on these other areas. So I really want to hope that we can talk more about that planning and governance aspect. In terms of economic impacts, I'll start there. Certainly people were making money from the project. That was a big message that we heard. High wages. So people were talking about making $30, $40 an hour, picking up garbage, in jobs related to food service, for example. And those dollars were certainly coming back to communities. We heard that a lot in the Labrador Straits area and in South Coast. And that those dollars were being spent in local businesses as well. So this quote from a local business owner, "We're competing with the project for everything," and I'll get back in a minute to the wage competition. Yeah, it's the biggest thing the project does. It makes it hard to attract workers, but also the spin-offs are bringing a lot of money back. We heard about people spending money on ATVs, on renovations and housing, which I mentioned, on Sea-Doos, building supplies, and they're buying, you know, huge trucks and cars, they're buying snowmobiles, they're buying ATVs and side-by-sides and Sea-Doos and all that kind of stuff. In the Labrador Straits, the business owners talked about the region's been positioned pretty good for that, because we've had, you know, we've had Ford is here, Chev is here, we've got Yamaha, Bombardier, right? So they can purchase all that stuff locally. Some of the bigger purchases, like huge motorhomes and travel trailers and stuff, they can't. But a good percentage of those purchases, if they can purchase here, they are purchased from local establishments.
very much, Dave, for that very thorough and somewhat graphic overview. Our next speaker is known to many of us. She is now the Associate Vice President of Grenfell. Kelly Vauden is a specialist in environmental studies at Grenfell, a research associate at an advisor to the municipalities of Newfoundland and Labrador, a specialist in sustainable living, community, regional development, community involvement and resource management, has done lots and lots of work in this province on water security. We first met in 2015 in Four New Earth's flagship event, the Future of Nature Conference at Gros Morne National Park. So it's my pleasure to welcome Kelly Vauden to the podium.
Thank the organizers, Mayor Anderson and the Town of Happy Valley Goose Bay for having us here, and also the Innu and Inuit upon whose traditional territory we gather, and whose territory we were here in the summer. I'm about to tell you about some research we did in July of this past summer, and really this is an opportunity for me to report back on some of the things we heard from the people that we spoke with as we traveled across the Labrador Straits and the South Coast and through Central Labrador, asking people about their experiences with mobile work in their communities. And Muskrat Falls was on the top of everyone's mind. So for the most part, what we heard were stories about the Muskrat Falls project and how people coming and going in their work in that project, we're experiencing that form of labor and the impacts on their communities. So the presentation I'm delivering it, but it's co-authored by myself and Leanna Butters, who's a master's student in environmental policy at Grenfell, and Dr. Heather Hall, at the University of Waterloo. And I should have included in this presentation a picture of the three of us in the large pickup truck that we rented for our field work this past summer. So we're just in the middle of analyzing our interview results, but so this is a preview almost. You're working? Okay. Okay, thank you. So this presentation is a reflection of the community impacts portion of a large project that I've been working on, led by Dr. Barb Neese at Memorial University. It's a national project with international collaborators as well. It's been working over the last 7 years to look at trends in the mobile workforce or employment-related geographic mobility. And the largest team within that national team is here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And within that team, we have a number of sub-projects in different sectors and what we call the Community Impacts Team, which I'm the lead of. There are four members of that team at Memorial: myself, Rob Greenwood, Nicole Power, and Sandrine Jean in Anthropology, Sociology, and the Hare Center. Heather Hall, as I mentioned, is at the University of Waterloo, and we have Doug Leone as well at Cape Breton University, and are able to learn about some of the other research that's been going on in other Atlantic provinces around this topic, as well as students Joshua Barrett, Leanna Butters, and Julie Lawler, who worked with us on this project. So as part of the Community Impacts Team, we are asking questions about what the impacts of employment-related geographic mobility are on communities throughout the province in Newfoundland and in Labrador. What are the responses to these impacts that we're seeing by community organizations, whether it's municipal or Aboriginal organizations, by union leaders, by companies and business-related organizations, and governments at all levels? And how are these impacts and responses different in different kinds of communities, in different kinds of sectors, and under different kinds of policy circumstances? So we were fortunate to be able to come, as I mentioned, last summer to Labrador and do some interviews, at least in the southern and central portion of Labrador, about mobile work in this portion of the province. My presentation is based on 29 interviews, so certainly it's a relatively small subset of the key informants and community stakeholders that we could have spoken with, and we certainly would have liked to talk to more people, but I do think we had a good, we started to hear many of the same stories again and again that I'll tell you about in a minute. Many of the people that we spoke with were businesses. We were interested in their perspectives of small business owners, particularly, and how they were being impacted by mobile work in their communities. Municipal leaders as well, Aboriginal organizations, provincial and federal representatives, one representative from healthcare, two from community non-government organizations, labor and transportation, as in the airport authority. We're currently analyzing the results of those interviews right now, and I'm going to tell you about some of the dominant themes that are coming out. Across the province, we're hearing housing as infrastructure, and particularly housing-related infrastructure issues, as the topic of concern when it comes to the impacts of mobile work on communities, and there was no exception here. So of 25 of the 29 interviews, people were talking about impacts on housing in your communities from mobile work, and in most cases from the Muskrat Falls project. The other major area that people spoke about were economic impacts on communities. So jobs being provided, high wages, people, changes in how people spend those dollars that they're earning in these projects, impacts on other sectors and on business development in communities. And I'll tell you more now about what people said about that. I'll talk a little bit about some of the social and cultural dynamic changes that people talked about, but it wasn't a dominant part of the interviews here in Labrador. There's been more focus on some of those family dynamics and also on sense of place and how that's been affected in some of the other island communities that we've spoken with. So I think the infrastructure and economic impacts were really front of mind for people in our interviews. 12 of the interviews we did were on the Labrador Strait's south coast portion of Labrador, 9 were in Happy Valley, Goose Bay, and 8 in Labrador West. I'm going to focus here on our findings from Labrador Straits, South Coast, and Happy Valley, Goose Bay. The Labrador West interviews were more about the experiences with the mining sector in that portion of Labrador, although the one reference that people were making to the Muskrat Falls project was that people were, in the past, there had been a real focus in Labrador West on people living and working in Labrador West, but now people were, with the downturn in the mining sector, people were availing of opportunities elsewhere, and they were starting to see more people engaged in mobile work, including workers involved in the Muskrat Falls project. This table shows you what the top areas of concern were for people that we spoke with, and you can see that those that are in green are economic related, and the yellow is the housing, those that referenced housing. So again, just showing that those were the top areas of concern. There were also issues around governance, so I was interested to hear Dave's reference to the demographic deficit, and I want to come back to that. I think that's certainly an area that we can have a lot more discussion. We heard about the mixed blessings from Mary Anderson, and that the project had had lots of some benefits and lots of challenges for communities, and it's in that those governance processes where we can have discussions about how to maximize benefits and decrease the challenges and threats and negative impacts of these projects that we can really make a difference on these other areas. So I really want to hope that we can talk more about that planning and governance aspect. In terms of economic impacts, I'll start there. Certainly people were making money from the project. That was a big message that we heard, high wages. So people were talking about making $30, $40 an hour, picking up garbage in jobs related to food service, for example. And those dollars were certainly coming back to communities. We heard that a lot in the Labrador Straits area and in South Coast. And that those dollars were being spent in local businesses as well. So this quote from a local business owner, "We're competing with the project for everything," and I'll get back in a minute to the wage competition. Yeah, it's the biggest thing the project does. It makes it hard to attract workers, but also the spin-offs are bringing a lot of money back. We heard about people spending money on ATVs, on renovations and housing, which I mentioned, on Sea-Doos, building supplies, and they're buying, you know, huge trucks and cars, they're buying snowmobiles, they're buying ATVs and side-by-sides and Sea-Doos and all that kind of stuff. In the Labrador Straits, the business owners talked about the region's been positioned pretty good for that, because we've had, you know, we've had Ford is here, Chev is here, we've got Yamaha, Bombardier, right? So they can purchase all that stuff locally. Some of the bigger purchases, like huge motorhomes and travel trailers and stuff, they can't. But a good percentage of those purchases, if they can purchase here, they are purchased from local establishments. So there were certainly those kinds of economic benefits in the region. Also in certain sectors, such as construction, we heard about companies starting up selling alarm systems for the large new homes that were being built. We also heard about impacts on other sectors, and particularly the tourism sector. So here's a quote talking about someone had a fellow that, you know, in St. John's calling me to say he had just gotten an email, "It's your room is gone, you know, we've let it out to contractors. Sorry, your room is not available anymore." And we heard about stories about people who had come for years to Labrador on fishing trips, for example, who had suddenly had their rooms canceled. And we were concerned, and some of the local economic development people that we spoke with were certainly concerned about the long-term impact on the tourism sector of those kinds of experiences that visitors had during the relatively short-term construction boom associated with the project. We also heard similar things in the medical sector about people losing their workers. And in the hotels, we heard about losing housekeepers, for example, here. We did interviews there a couple of days ago. We wanted to hire another housekeeper. The lady walks in and she was like, "If it's less than $40 an hour, I don't want it." And we heard that again and again from local employers. We had trouble attracting workers. Some of them said they had turned to temporary foreign worker programs, but then asked the question, what will happen when the project ends? When the local workers come back seeking employment, and those jobs may no longer be there. On the infrastructure, on the housing, the main thing that we heard about was the cost of housing. And that we heard on the Labrador Straits and South Coast more about people investing in housing, renovations certainly, and to some extent new homes, although less than we heard in Happy Valley Goose Bay certainly. Where there are new homes being constructed, we heard in some cases that was younger residents, so that was seen as positive that some young residents were staying in the community, investing in new homes, but relying on mobile work to finance those homes. Certainly housing pressures in terms of availability of housing right throughout all of the areas where we were conducting interviews. We heard that early in the project there was not much camp space available, and that mobile fly-in, fly-out workers were forced to live in the community of Happy Valley Goose Bay, and that resulted in a construction boom, but also skyrocketing prices. The quote here, "We went from maybe $600 from a two-bedroom apartment to $2,000 for a two-bedroom apartment. We heard about the construction of new kinds of housing as well, fourplexes, for example, again, targeting contractors and their workers. In addition to housing pressures and related infrastructure change in communities, we certainly heard about increases in airport traffic and increases in infrastructure and improvements in the infrastructure at the airport. We've also been doing interviews in Deer Lake and seen similar things. The rise of mobile work has resulted in investments in our airport infrastructure in the province, which benefits tourism, and so it can have some positive benefits for other sectors, and hopefully in the longer term. One of the things we heard, I'll come to sustainability in a minute, was that people are hoping that they'll be able to continue in this mobile work lifestyle, even when this project ends, that they may travel for other employment. So airport infrastructure is critical for that. This quote says, "I believe 90% of the airport traffic now is commercial, where in Goose Bay's past, it used to be primarily military flights." So provides another kind of use, mobile work, for this infrastructure. We heard about taxing the medical infrastructure in the community as well, so this has social as well as service-related implications, as opposed to suggesting that there wasn't a lot of screening. Not this one, another one we heard of talked about how there was limited screening and requirements early on of the workforce, that people were being accepted on the project, saying it was a bit like the Wild West, a lot of people that wouldn't have cleared for other sites. There was no real clearance, no process when the project began to work on site. The concerns about additional pressures that would normally have been associated with such a project that came with workers being accepted on the site that may have certain social or medical issues that wouldn't have been accepted in other locations. Again, these are quotes from individuals involved, but people intimately involved in providing these services and working with these workers. Another infrastructure-related concern was the state of the road. That's probably one of the biggest things we heard about in the Straits, and the negative impacts of the state of the roads on businesses, tourism, and other businesses all along the coast, trying to bring in those businesses that are bringing in ATVs and Sea-Doos. They had trouble bringing in those goods to service, to take advantage of the extra dollars because of the state of the road infrastructure. So while economic and infrastructure, service and infrastructure dominated our results, certainly people did also talk about social pressures associated with the project. This quote talks about women in the community of Happy Valley, Goose Bay, and area. The clients, you know, they tell us lots of horror stories. They're walking down the road and people are trying to get them in their trucks all the time. The other thing that we heard about was fear and division in terms of the social and cultural aspects of life here in your community in Happy Valley, Goose Bay. That was something that really struck us when people talk about constantly having to live in fear of what might happen if there's a failure at the site, for example. Or the divides of within families of people who are working on the site, perhaps, and those who are standing to fight against some of the negative impacts of the site. Again, a quote, "I think it's become more of a divide in who's for Muskrat Falls and who's against Muskrat Falls. The protests are affecting everyone. You can't sit down to a supper table in this town without someone bringing up, where do you stand on Muskrat Falls?" And we had people tell us, "I'm just tired of waking up every day and hearing about Muskrat Falls." So as I mentioned, I think the planning and governance impacts are some of the most striking ones for me as somebody interested in governance, and also because it's something we can do something about in the future. It's something we can take lessons away from this experience and try to think about. If we were to undertake a project like this, and Newfoundland Labrador has a history of mega project development, and certainly won't be our last, I suspect, what have we learned from this experience that we can either address the impacts of this particular project now to the extent possible, but also do things differently in the future, perhaps. Some of the quotes related to these governance relationships. With Nalcor, it's been a very rocky relationship because we haven't come to agreement on a lot of issues. That's been our biggest problem, really. You know, the main communication that ever happened between any groups around Muskrat was during the environmental impact assessment. And that was a very one-sided event with a lot of scripted answers to things from various government departments. And finally, if you look at whether it's with the municipality, the Aboriginal groups, just the community in general, everything was done the wrong way. It was like, we don't need to talk to you. We're not going to talk to you, so leave us alone. That's really what it's been for years. And the final issue that people spoke about was about sustainability, or that we were curious about. We asked people about this. What happens after the construction associated with Muskrat Falls? We heard all along our travels about people working, making lots of money, businesses benefiting from this construction boom. Certainly there's significant concern about that. There were those who said, I mean, we still, you know, there's fairy tales about Gull Island and who knows what's going on there. Talk about other mega projects, or, well, we'll just have to go somewhere else to work. But nonetheless, there was significant concern about the impacts after the construction boom ends. We've certainly got no indication from government about what's going on there with respect to Gull Island. So, I mean, I guess there's two possibilities for after. One is that there'll be a few people employed looking after the site, and looking after the ongoing risk to everyone downstream and whatnot. And the other option is, well, there's another mega project. Another person said, I think the town here in Happy Valley Goose Bay is still going to be vibrant and play an important role, but there's certainly a lot of fear in the community. Another said, you're going to see a lot of people losing toys and losing make houses and stuff, But then again, I've heard people say that the banks, they've cracked down. So hopefully they learned their lesson in Labrador City, and we don't see a lot of people lose their homes. So I'd like to leave it at that, and certainly welcome the opportunity to hear more from other people who have had some of these experiences or thoughts about how we might plan to minimize some of the negative impacts and increase positive impacts in the future. And to thank the Robert Harding and Lois Claxton Humanities and Social Sciences Award at the University of Waterloo and the VP Grenfell Research Award for allowing us the funding to travel to Labrador and talk to some of you about your experiences with mobile work, particularly in relation to Muskrat Falls. Thank you.